guys, and welcome to our third show, Veterans Onward to Prosperity. I hope everybody is doing well this April and enjoying the spring weather, even though we are getting a mix of other seasons in with our spring weather. But you know, I didn't call you all together just to talk about the weather. I called you all together because this show is all about giving you information, resources, and sources so that on your life's journey from the military to civilian life, you're going to have more of a smoother transition than I did. This is your host, Master Sergeant Retired Anna Maria Bliven, to give you that information, resources, and sources that I wish I had when I was transitioning from military to civilian. In our last show, I left you with the promise that I was going to give you a short story. Well, how about I do this? I'll start the story in the beginning of our show, and I will finish the story at the end of my show. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed with learning about what it is that happened to me in 2008, when I left after 26 years, can you believe it? 26 years serving in the Army and making it all the way up to E8. Okay, for those of you that are in the listed side of the house, you know that the top of the rung is E9. So I almost made it to the top of the rung. In fact, the day that came for me to decide whether I wanted to put in my promotion packet, I was told we were going to jump out of a rolling Humvee at our next training cycle. And it's like, I don't think I want to jump out of a rolling Humvee. Not that I'm disparaging anybody else from jumping out of a rolling Humvee. It's important that you learn how to jump out of a rolling Humvee and live to tell the tale. But this person, at that stage of my game, I was ready to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. And consequently, that meant I wasn't going to put in my promotion packet. Instead, I was going to leave the military. One of the things that I learned in my transition, and guys, when you get, you're warriors now, and when you get to be transitioning to veteran status, listen up. We are not to say that we retired from the military if, in fact, you're leaving after 20 years plus of service. No. I learned in interviews, no less, that when you say that you retire from the military, on the civilian side of the house, they don't quite understand. So just a little bit of my story is what I just told you. At the end of the show, I will finish telling you the rest of the story. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break and we're going to bring back our guest, because the real topic of this show is not so much my story of what happened in 2008, but rather what happens to all of us on our life's journey, be it in the military or in civilian, with money. Remember, I told you April is Mission Money Possible. So this episode is all about what to do in the management of money so our house of cards don't come crumbling down. More on that, and I will introduce our guest in just a moment.
Mike Merwin here, U.S. Navy retired submarine officer turned entrepreneur. I turned my hobby of 25 plus years making beef jerky into a thriving small business. Made in small batches with only high quality ingredients, it's not good, it's crazy good. A portion of all proceeds helps save military lives. Order now on www.crazymikesjerky.com using code CB10 for 10% off.
Hi, and welcome back to Veterans Onward to Prosperity. I'm your host, Master Sergeant Retired Anna Maria Bliven. And today, we have the privilege of having the money coach, Anita Wright. She is someone who, according to what she's written in LinkedIn, and you'll see this on her website, she's a financial coach, an educator, and I love this part of her description. She creates a sense of hope and security for people in difficult financial situations. Anita, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
And so how is it we get into the difficult money situations and our house of cards come crumbling down?
Well, there's usually a number of things. You know, it's been said that finances are 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge.
Ooh. So
typically, a lot of the problem is that we're not paying attention to what we're doing with our money. There's no plan. You just go on what people have told you that maybe you should be doing. We have a tendency to sometimes follow with the idea that we need to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. And so we think we have to have the newest and greatest and best thing out there, even though we may not need it. And so we go out and buy it. And usually what happens then is, you know, you just keep buying things and you're not actually paying attention to where that money's going. And so eventually you wind up taking out credit cards, you take out loans. So you wind up with all this debt that eventually even your income sometimes you can't pay for it. You have trouble paying what you owe other people because you're either not making enough money or you've just taken out too much debt. And it's decisions that you make, typically. You can have all the head knowledge, you can know a lot about money, but there's a lot of people that know a lot about money that are still living paycheck to paycheck.
That's interesting. So it's based on behavior.
A lot of it.
And the underlying behavior then comes from the compulsivity that you gotta have it.
Right, that's a lot of it. Or what you're taught. You know, you may grow up in a household where you get everything you want. And so whenever you get out there in the real world, you know, on your own, you don't know how to handle it. And so you think you still have to have everything. So yeah, part of it's compulsion, but you know, sometimes it's just what you're taught as well. The way you live your life growing up.
So that's a habit that can actually make our house of cards crumble, but there is, the same with smoking, right? It's a habit, right? Over drinking overly than you should, that's a habit. So I'm under the impression that if you really want to break a habit, you can.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
So how do we do that where money is concerned?
Well, the big thing is, one of the things you have to do really is you've got to figure out why are you making these decisions? Why have you gotten yourself into this position? Because if you don't understand that, then it's going to be hard to break that habit because you have to know what you were doing in order to get there. So, because those are the things you have to change in your life. And so you have to sit down, you know, why? You know, why did you get there? How did you get there? You know, did it have to do with buying too many things or do you just not have enough income? You know, there could be an income crisis or there could be a, you just have, you know, you've been overspending and you could actually cut back on a lot of things, maybe. Hmm. I know a lot of times, you know, especially men, and I know I'm kind of stereotyping here. I'm sure some women do it too, but, you know, men are always talking about wanting the big truck, you know, the big fancy truck. And so they go and spend $55,000 or $60,000 on a pickup. They can't afford it. It's more than their house payment. The loan payment is. And so you don't think about it. So you have to step back and think about why you're doing it, how you got there first. And then you have to create a budget. The budget is the foundation of everything. You have to tell your money where to go. And you have to know what you have coming in and what you have going out. That's actually the foundation of everything. I've heard it said, in fact, my late husband and I even felt it when we started really working the budget. You feel like you get a raise whenever you actually sit down and put the numbers down on paper and you realize, oh my gosh, I have all this money and you know, I can handle it now. So that's probably the biggest thing is, putting a plan in place. You have to have a plan and you have to carry through with that plan every single month. You have to have a new budget every month. So that's the biggest thing.
Okay, so you're saying that we can break the habit of overspending. Mm-hmm. And the way to help with that is with a budget.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Well, that gives me hope because, you know, it took me many, many, many years to figure out that that's exactly what we got to do. In fact, I was under the impression that once it got spent, I could just earn it again. Because, right. And then before I knew it, I had three jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you don't want to be a person with three jobs, just manage the one or the two at the most, right?
Right. Yes. Yes. And there's, I mean, you can, you know, if you cut back, you know, there again, the expensive vehicles, get rid of that expensive vehicle, go to a less expensive vehicle for a while. It doesn't have to be long term. But just go, you know, downgrade on some things. And I know a lot of people are not going to want to hear me say this, but get rid of cable for a while, or satellite, whatever, dish, whatever, you know, however you're getting your television, get rid of that for a while. But it doesn't have to be a very long period of time. Just to get out of debt. That's the biggest thing, is you want to get out of debt, because if you think about it, your money is your biggest wealth building tool. And so if you're paying all your money out to creditors, you don't have any money to put away to save for your future. So that's one of the keys, is to get out of debt. And sometimes you have to make sacrifices and get rid of some things for a while. On average, people get out of debt in 18 to 24 months.
Okay.
In the scheme of things, for a lifetime, that's not very long, really. So if you can sacrifice for that long, then once you get out of debt and have money in the bank just for emergencies, because that's another key too. You have to have money in the bank for emergencies. Do that. And then you've got money freed up that you can do other things with. You can save for retirement, you know, save to buy things, pay cash for things. But until you get out of debt, it's really hard to do that.
So in the military, we get a steady paycheck because we are in the military. And if you are receiving a paycheck, you still have to manage it, folks.
Exactly.
Right. And so for those of you that are warriors, you kind of have it a little better than us veterans in the fact that you know that you've got a steady paycheck. For us veterans, not so. You know, it's not as a sure thing. I mean, ask for everybody that in the pandemic lost their jobs, right? But in the military, you still get a paycheck. So how about this, warriors? Start doing what it is that Anita has just said. Get yourself some paper, get yourself a pen or a pencil, and start writing down what it is that you spend on. Obviously, you've got, if you're on post, you don't have your housing, but you do have your groceries. You do have what, like Anita said, if you've also got cable TV, that's an expense. Write it down. Yep. Anything else that you are spending, like gasoline for your car,
yeah,
right? Tire rotation,
mm-hmm.
Oil changes. Even though you may be going to the living on post and going to the chow hall for lunch, some of you are maybe officers and you're spending money for that lunch. You're not just doing that with a signature as the enlisteds are. You're spending that money there at the chow hall, right? Anything you're taking, your credit card or your debit card, you should be keeping track. Like, for example, my husband and I are on the threshold soon to cross over for retirement. We are now writing down what it is that we're spending because we have to make sure that we've got enough money after we stop working. So, you know, there's different stages of life that require a budget. For those kids that are getting out of high school and going into college, well, guess what? You got to have a budget. You got to know what money it takes to live in no matter what stage of life. Right, Anita?
Yes, most definitely.
And if you do that, then you're building your house of cards. and more likely it's going to stay built.
Right.
But Anita, let's talk about situations where you need to rebuild your cards. You got to rebuild. You're struggling. You're in debt. You said you give cents. So let's talk about that when we come back from this break.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks for coming back with Anita Wright and your host, Master Sergeant Retired Anna Maria Bliven. We have been talking about making sure that our money will continue to work for us and that it's not going to get away from us. I was doing some research this morning, and do you know that money problems is among the top five reasons why people get divorced? Mm-hmm. And did you know that 3.7% of marriages in the military don't make it past their second year? Now, among those top five reasons has a lot to do with deployments. We get that. That's stress. That's stress in so many different levels. We get that. But among the five top five reasons is money and the incompatibility. Which I read an article this morning about the incompatibility of making your money work. Mm-hmm. So I may want that shiny red car. We can't afford it, but I go ahead and buy it. And now we got a problem.
Right.
So, and there's relationship issues, but relationship problems also stem from money. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So should we be afraid of our money? Not really. Not if you learn how to manage it, the same as you would manage anything else, right? Because if you don't manage your weapon, you're in trouble. If you don't manage your household with your relationship with your family, you're in trouble and they're in trouble. So we have been taught to be disciplined, right? We can definitely use that discipline where money is concerned. So when we were, before we took a break, I had a question posed to Anita. How do you rebuild it?
Well, basically, there's the way I help people get through all that is there's baby steps. We call baby steps that you go through. And one of the first things you need to do is put some money away in savings for emergencies, because what you, especially if you have debt, okay? Some of you may not, but a lot of you probably do. And if you have the debt, what this whole process is, again, is working on getting out of debt so that you can use your money to build wealth and be able to be in a place where you can retire with dignity and all of that and leave a legacy to your families. So basically you need to have some money set aside for emergencies so that when something does happen, because life happens, things are gonna happen. And while you're getting out of debt, things are gonna happen. And so if you have the cash on hand, then you're not gonna go into more debt in order to pay for that emergency or that thing that comes up. So you've got to have some money. And then again, going back to the budget, you have got to plan. You have got to put a budget in place every month, but be flexible. I know some of you may, you hear the term budget and it freaks you out, and that's understandable. But the budget actually is for you. It works for you, and it's, you have to create it for yourself. But work with that budget. Be flexible though. You can make changes, additions, subtractions, whatever, to make it work. But just make the budget work every month. And the thing that I definitely want you to focus on. Some people get caught up on the credit and they have to pay those bills. What you need to focus on more than anything is what we call the four walls. It's your housing, transportation, utilities, mortgage, rent, however you're doing that. And food and clothing. I think, I don't remember what I said now. Anyway, but there's basically four areas. Focus on those. Take care of those first. Make sure those are covered. The creditors will wait. Don't worry about paying the creditors until you have that taken care of, because you need to take care of yourself first. And then you can start working on this other stuff. And then you would start working on getting rid of your debt. And there's a process for that as well that I teach people. It's the debt snowball. Some of you may have heard of it, going from smallest to largest, and, you know, and pay off all your debt. And once you have your debt paid off, then you would build up your emergency fund more, where you've got a, you know, pretty good chunk of money sitting there. And then you just start, you know, then you can start doing those things that you really want to do. Retirement, college planning, buying a house or paying off your mortgage, whatever that goes along with all that.
So would you recommend that in writing down the expenses, right? Everything yes. that you've been spending
yes.
in the on one column, then make two columns. Under one column, it's you must have.
Right.
Just like Anita said, you've got to have some housing, you've got to have utilities, you've got to have food, got to have clothing. That's the must have category. Then make yourself another, that column, would like to have.
Right.
Right. And somehow between the two columns, you're managing your money and your money's not getting away from you. And like she said, at some point you might feel as though you got a raise.
Yeah.
Because now you know where your money is going. You are in control and you're not losing control. That's the big thing, right? Losing right. control, that's when the house comes down or the house of cards come down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you need to, once you start using a budget and working on that every month, you are controlling your money. Your money is no longer controlling you. And so there's a big difference there, because when your money is controlling you, you have no idea where it's going.
No, and you find yourself going from paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly.
Exactly. And that's not a good sign.
Right.
So you know how we have warning orders in the military? Here's your warning order, warriors and veterans. If you are living paycheck to paycheck, that's your warning.
Yeah.
You don't need to be doing that. And the only way that really works, and I'm talking from experience as well as listening to our money coach, is you write all that you're spending down on a piece of paper, making your two columns, making sure that you've got your basic necessities, like Anita said, all covered. And then whatever's left over, you look over in the other column and you get real with yourself. And if it turns out that you are in a situation where you need to be earning a little bit more, let's come face to face with that. If you are in that entry level, well, then let's talk about what it would take to get you into the next level up, where you are earning more. It's logic. It's discipline.
It is.
And it is a change of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So on an average 100 people to, I don't know, 50, would you say more like 60 or 70% of the time people do get it in that work with you?
Yes. Yes. Most definitely.
Then that's that hope sense, that sense of hope.
Yes. Yes. Yes, most definitely. But they have to be committed. I mean, you know, they have to be committed to the program too, but it works. The program definitely works.
Well, when you go out to battle and you're not committed in your job, you get killed.
Right.
When you go to battle your finances, and I hate to put it that way, but that's basically what it is, making sure that you remain in control of it and it does not control you. That's a behavior battle.
Yeah. It is. Yes. And, you know, of course, one of the things that you have to decide is, what do you want out of life? You know, where do you want to go? Because, you know, you can keep doing the same things you're doing, But where's it going to get you? So you have to sit down and make some decisions, you know, and decide, what do I want to do? Do I want to retire with dignity? Do I want to have a lot of, so do I want to go have fun? Do I want to be able to go on vacations and not have it follow me home because I have to pay for it later? Or, you know, do you want to leave money for, to your children? You know, what goals do you have? And you need to sit down and figure that out. And that will also help in this whole process. Once you figure that out, then it'll be a whole lot easier to sit down and create that plan and stick to it.
And you've been listening to Anita Wright, the Money Coach, and she is a counselor. She's an educator. She's somebody who coaches people through all stages of their money life, if you will. So Anita, where do we get in touch with you? How do we get in touch with you?
There's a couple of ways. You can email me at it's AnitaWright.fc, as in financial coach, at gmail.com.
And Wright is spelled W-R-I-G-H-T.
Yes, yes. And I also have a business Facebook page. So if you go to, it would be www.facebook.com/ AnitaWright.fc. And there's actually I think a book now button. There's a little blue button in the middle there that you can, you know, to set up a time with me. And I do have my phone number too, if you'd like me to give you your phone number.
I think you can find that on the Facebook page.
On the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I want to throw out there too that I would just like to help any of you veterans out there. I have a heart for the military. I have a long line of military men in my family. And it's such an honor to be able to work with you. And for the most part, I mean, we can kind of talk about it a little bit but for the most part, there will be little or no charge. Just to talk to me, and we can talk and set up a, you know, and I will work with you. I want to work with you and help you, because I know how difficult it can be. And I know the plan works, and I would just like to help you find that peace and hope.
It sounds like you'd be our battle buddy in the battle for getting control of our finances. Well, thank you, Anita. That does give a sense of hope. Thank you so much. So you heard it here. If you're in a situation where your financial cards have fallen, there is a way that you can recover from that, build it back up, and keep it built, never to fall again. So we're going to come back and wrap this this episode up in a brief moment. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dave Stevens with the Disability Channel.
An inability to break out. I'm sitting by the door on the second floor, losing my 7-year war. It's not an illusion, so why the exclusion?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's about you. So. Confusion.
You say you're a disability dynamo.
Joining me and welcome to this beautiful Travelers Championship.
I only want one accolade from you.
So my story is unique. It's amazing. But it's not anything that you guys don't have inside of you. I'm not a hero. I'm not anybody special. I'm just this guy without legs that went out and I just did it.
Stats are way the Democrats. The diplomats and the bureaucrats.
This is probably your first interview down on the ground on your butt and stuff like
first
that.
First time ever,
all
baby.
All right.
Invalidate.
Stay with us and the Disability Channel.
Welcome back. So we're going to wrap this episode by simply mentioning this, that money problems are big problems. We all know that. There's a lot of folks that lives may be at risk, let's just say. And it's all due to the fact that your cards have fallen of your finances. So I hope that in this episode, you're feeling a sense of hope, of knowing that, yeah, you're probably in that situation, but you can recover. I have been in that situation and I have recovered. And now I'm also following pretty much what you just heard our money coach say. For the last 15 years, I keep track of my finances. I make sure that I know what's coming in and what's going out. And even with what's left over, I have to give. I can contribute and help others. So you can be in that situation too. All right, back to my story. In 2008, when I left the military, technically retired from it, but I just told you at the beginning of the show, don't say retire. I wasn't able to get a job that was comparable to E8. I did 42 interviews in the transition between leaving the military and going into the civilian work world. And in all of those 42 interviews, I never came to the top of their list. Maybe first runner-up, second runner-up, that sort of thing. And at one point in time, I was offered a $7.50 job in a LTE, or that's limited term employment, for 1 year at $7.50 an hour. And guys, you know that when you get to E8, you've got skill sets and leadership and project management, project design, leading people through missions. Well, not to brag, but I'm also bragging on my teams. We not only achieved our missions, but we exceeded expectations while achieving those. I had all those skills, yet I could not get any job offer any better than $7.50 an hour. Now, some people might say, well, it's a job, so take a job and work it from there. But at some point I thought, if you're not going to hire me, I'll hire me. And that's how I got into entrepreneurial endeavors. That's how I eventually also got a nonprofit organization started. That's how a journey that I had I thought really that if you've got all these skills that you built in the military, it would transfer nicely over to civilian side. That wasn't the case. I had to come to realize that my skills, believe in those skills, same for you. If you're in this situation, you will totally get what I'm talking about. You have to get to that situation where you believe in yourself. You believe in your skills. So let me finish this episode by simply saying this. If you're a warrior, please be planning for the day that you are a veteran. If you are a veteran, stand proud and believe in your skills. Till next week, when we continue our Mission Money Possible Month, I'll sign off by simply reminding you this: be the best you can be.